Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, if anybody out there see my wife's phone, let me know, will you? Yeah, we've been chasing that thing around here for the last however many hours. I love her to death, but she's kind of absent-minded. She's not absent-minded. She's got 15 things on her mind at once. You guys, you know somebody like that? They're doing step B when they're really on step A, except they're thinking about step Z. That's kind of her. So, you know, I have this photographic memory. Like, if I go out and play golf, and I come home and my wife says to me, how did you play? And I say, well, we did okay. And she said, did you get any birdies? And I'll go to the fourth hole and I'll replay every shot. And I'll be able to tell where this one went. And so when she loses her phone, I said, well, just where were you when you last had it? And, you know, she can't reconstruct that in her head where she was. How come you can't put yourself in that position and walk back from there? Amazing. So help Michelle find her phone. God bless that sweet little thing. Very few things about her that upset me, but boy, keeping her focused sometimes. Love you, sweetheart. Love you. Hey, listen, man, oh, man. I'm in cowboy garb today, war garb, whatever you want to call it. You know, I didn't even get a chance yesterday to talk about the commentary that I wrote. I had more responses yesterday from my News With You's commentary that I wrote than any one that I've ever written. And that's saying something. And it's amazing when that happens, because I just sit down and write it. I sit down and write it. And sometimes I'll read it to Michelle and she'll respond. And sometimes I think, oh, that's a dud. But no, I got to get one in. So I don't get paid for it, by the way. I got to get that one in. So I'd submit it. And sometimes I write one I think is a masterpiece. Get almost no response from it, and I can't figure out what's going on. And man, the one yesterday, why are Christian men so soft? That sucker blew up like I can't even believe. How about Facebook, huh? How about Facebook? Now, here's what's really going on there. They lost 25, what was it? Zuckerberg lost like $15 billion or something yesterday. You got that much money. I mean, it sounds like a lot, but I mean, I lost all that. But you know what's going on? You know what they did? They blocked. I mean, just you think about this. It's like if you're selling, you have a dairy. Let's say you had a dairy, and you blocked out. You no longer marketed milk. All you had cream, and you had ice cream, but you didn't sell any more milk. Whoever's running the thing at Facebook decided they were not going to serve conservatives anymore. And so as a result, they shadow banned it and blocked and did all kinds of algorithms and all that kind of stuff. And they're not going to let conservatives have anything on Facebook. And as a result, their earnings plummeted. I praise God. I hope that thing goes under. I hope it goes under. And it's the devil incarnate. So thank God, thank goodness that they're going under. There it is, Jared. What is it? He showed yesterday.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Well, he's doing that. Yeah. Twitter is doing the same stupid thing. You know, they're shadow banning people.
Right.
I have absolute proof of that. And it's a hidden shadow ban. When you first go into it, it doesn't look like it. But it's if you use hashtags, they automatically shadow ban you. I just found that out.
Well, I don't use hashtags, but here's the point that most of us don't understand. YouTube, Facebook, Google are all, believe it if you want to or not, operations of the CIA designed to control people, control public opinion. Oh, that's what the whole thing's about.
And
I heard somebody say yesterday, and boy, this made sense. Man, oh man. Doug Hagman said last night, I really trust Doug Hagman. He doesn't just, he has inside sources and he has some, you know, he touches bases with people I don't touch bases with. And he said that some of the stuff that's come out regarding this whole pedophiles thing is so earth shattering and earth with the how big this thing is that Facebook, YouTube, Google, Twitter, they're all preparing to stop the dissemination of the information that comes out. That's what's going on right now. And they're making it look like something else, but they have to do some way, something to keep the real truth from coming out. Now that's right up there with tinfoil hat stuff. I don't care. I got a couple things I want to show you here real quick. I don't really know what it's about. Jared, put that picture of the church up there. You tell me that's not the church. Is that it, boy? Huh? I don't know where I got that. Look at that picture there. How many of those do you see around? Or how many churches do you see that are some of them becoming mosques, some being turned into all kinds of things. And I got mixed feelings on that one. So Jared, you can pull that one back down. And then I want to shoot up there what Bonhoeffer said. Jared says Bonhoeffer. I'm gonna get there, boys. It's Flea Flicker Friday, anyways. I'm gonna let you guys throw some red meat out on the table. Somebody sent me this quote from Bonhoeffer. You have to, you know, when I wrote yesterday, people said I quoted Bonhoeffer. Well, you better check it. It wasn't Bonhoeffer that said it. All you can do is go to the internet. They said it or not. Look at this. This is what Bonhoeffer, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, said this. Stupidity is a more dangerous enemy of good than malice. Say that again. Stupidity or lack of information or unwillingness to know new information. One may protest against evil. It can be exposed and, if need be, prevented by use of force. So we can stop evil. Evil always carries within itself the germ of its own subversion, in that it leaves behind in human beings at least a sense of unease. In other words, if you're doing something evil, you never really feel comfortable with it. And it you get so far gone, so depraved. I mean, you never ever feel comfortable doing it. But he says, against stupidity, we are defenseless. Somebody say amen. How many people are here? They're just, it's just, my goodness. I think, how can you believe that?
Amen.
How can you believe that? I say, neither protests nor the use of force accomplish anything against stupidity. Reason fall on deaf ears. Facts that contradict one's prejudgment simply need not be believed. I'm going to read that again. That's a powerful statement. Facts that contradicts one's prejudgment simply need not be believed. It's like talking to somebody on the left about the crimes that Hillary Clinton committed. You can't. It don't matter. No matter what you say. Same thing with the anti-Trump stuff, right? It says in such moments, the stupid person even becomes critical. And when facts are irrefutable, they're just pushed aside as inconsequential and as incidental. And all this, the stupid person, in contrast to the malicious or evil one, is utterly self-satisfied and, being easily irritated, becomes dangerous by going on the attack. You ever been there? The stupid person attacks. They don't even know what they're talking about. For that reason, greater caution is called for when dealing with a stupid person than with a malicious one. Never again will we try to persuade the stupid person with reason, for it is senseless and dangerous. Is that unbelievable?
That's the truth, brother.
That it, man, oh man, is that ever it? And is that what they've tried to do to us or not, boys? Man, oh man. Hey, go ahead.
Okay. What it is that you just mentioned it about people not caring about Hillary's crimes. Once again, it's a referee mentality.
They're saying that no one officially no one saw it, so it didn't matter. And it's stupid. It's insane. You know,
well, it's they've staked out their position. It's like when you go we got on the street and you argue the abortion debate. People stake their position and they'll look for facts to what about rape? What about incest? They've already got their position. They're not going to waver because that's their position. The facts don't matter. Yeah, Jim.
And with that too, I mean, even us. I know. There's times where I sit and I question and I say, "Am I right about this? Am I right about this?" And then I think about it for a minute or two, and I say, "Well, I have 2,000 years of history on my side, so right. I think I'm right." You know what I mean? But even still, we still question the stupid person. It's like, am I the weird one? Am I wrong here? And it's like, well, is all of history wrong?
You're right.
You're not afraid to be wrong. You're not afraid to be wrong. Because if...
That's kind of like what Satan did in the garden. Did God really say?
Yeah. We were after truth. And if I don't have the truth... See, I was thinking, I don't know what you guys thought. I thought Russ Dizdaria, I thought that may have been the top two or three programs we've ever done. That was such a powerful, powerful program of connecting all the dots. And you know, one of the things I didn't really zero in on because it happened so fast at the end of the program when I went into one of my rants, talking about the deep state and conspiracy theories and tinfoil hats and all that stuff. If what Russ Dizdar is telling us, if the Didache Dominoia, see, I learned it. If the doctrines of demons is really at work, and if the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, if that battle is really, really taking place, and the demons, the Didache Dominoia, the demons are about trying to destroy everything that has to do with God. If that's really their master plan, the doctrines of the demons, then we have got to realize. We gotta look around us and see the past predicts the future, right? We gotta look around and see what happened in the past. So they tell us Operation Paperclip, which I put up on the screen yesterday, was a real thing where we brought Nazis in here to try to, you know, we thought it was for a good reason. Isn't that how it always happens? We brought the Nazis in, the mind control and brainwashing and all that stuff follows it. And now let's connect the dot here, okay? This is 2018. All of us remember the turbulent 60s and everything that went happened in the 60s and stop and think that the 60s, 1960, was only 15 years after the Second World War. I mean, that's not that long ago. Think about 15 years ago. That was 2003. That wasn't that long ago. So they bring all these Nazis over here and they get embedded into Hollywood and into government and into education and into seminary. They plant these guys everywhere during this. In the 40s, when they bring them over here, they begin to immediately plant them into positions, infiltrate into positions of prominence. And the Christians begin to pull back from it. And so these guys come rushing in. And so here we are in 2018. And if my math is any good, that is 58 years. They've had 58 years to invade and take over the positions of authority in government. And to understand that Hillary and that cabal, I don't know if you guys listened to, I told you need to go to Hagman and listen to Jonathan Kahn. It's pretty amazing. That Jonathan Kahn said that this dark force at work in America, see, Barack Obama, believe this or not, I don't care. See, it goes back to Bonhoeffer. Remain stupid if you want. Go ahead and believe what you want to believe. Barack Obama sometimes didn't even know why he was doing certain things. Hillary Clinton didn't even know why she was doing certain things. Why? Didache Dominoia, doctrines of demons, influences that they aren't even really aware of. You ever been led by the Holy Spirit? You ever done something under the power of the Holy Spirit when you get through doing it, say, wow, where did that come from? You understand the dark side operates the exact same way? And so what had happened is they brought in the positions of a power and authority in our government Rosenstein and McCabe and Mueller and Comey and go down through the list. They had put their people, Didache Dominoia, the doctrines of demons in positions of authority. And so they were able to do whatever they wanted to because they owned the investigators. They owned everything. And if you knew you could get away with it, what would you do? I mean, human nature, what would you do? And Jonathan Cahn said, listen, these people sometimes don't even know what they're doing. They are being demonically controlled. And those of us who are carrying the name of Christ, we don't see it. We don't understand it. We don't realize it's bigger than just my life and my family and my finances and my health. We don't understand the love, folks. Jesus loves us individually, but I'm going to tell you something. It ain't about us. This cosmic battle isn't about the individual. He wants you healthy, wealthy, wise, and strong so that you can be an active, productive soldier for the kingdom of God. That's the only reason for any of God's blessings, not just to make you happier. My. And so when Dizdar was off there yesterday, I thought, goodness gracious. And our churches won't see it. A church, you walk into a church, do you hear sermons other than what about you and how you are supposed to behave and you are supposed to do? Do you ever walk into your church and the gatekeepers, the watchers, the guys who are supposed to be keeping an eye on everything for us, do they ever go into the government or into Didache Dominoia to understand that this LGBTQ, see, it's not whether or not we should accept the LGBTQRST. It's not about that. We don't even realize in the church it's Didache Dominoia. We don't even understand it's a doctrine of demons that is affecting everybody in the lost world and trying to impact those of us in the found world. Didache Dominoia. So what's going on? Can't you watch? Can't you see what's going on with Trump? Can't you see the sinister, ungodly, unrighteous attack upon Donald Trump? I don't care what you think about him. Didache Dominoia. And how can we go to church every Sunday and not hear anything about this? Only hear about personal stuff. Personal stuff. You got to stop doing this. And oh my goodness. And holy, hey folks, they're teaching sodomy to your grandchildren in the schools. Didache Dominoia. They're teaching it. They're doing child trafficking. Didache Dominoia. We have women becoming men and men becoming women. Didache Dominoia. We got the Supreme Court saying it's okay. Didache Dominoia. What is wrong with us? What do we think's going on? We are the antidote. The Holy Spirit of God. We are the only ones, the church, that can push back. We're the only ones. And where does all of your opposition come from? It comes from the church. Why? Didache Dominoia. Doctrines of demons. Teachings of commandments, doctrines of men. Making the word of God of none effect.
Evil men have swept in unaware.
Oh my goodness. But see, Kevin, we have to take it. As hard as this is, my friends, we have to take it from local to global and from global to local. They are interconnected. When James Carville said 20 years ago, all politics is local, Didache Dominoia. They are trying to destroy America by destroying your children. They're starting right in the public schools with the Didache Dominoia. Why? Because they want to be able to control everything that's going on. And the only way they can control everything that's going on is if the Didache Dominoia, they can dumb down the churches and dumb down the children and get us chasing after video games and cell phones. The Didache Dominoia. Does anybody see this other than me? Sometimes I feel like I am in a cave. But sometimes I feel like I live in a cave.
Isn't that what Khrushchev said when he had his shoe in his hand pounding on the podium?
Give us a generation, and we'll give them communism to Dhaka Dominoia. Yeah.
It's just like what Mark Trump said. It's a race. Really, it's a race to that first truth, right? It's a race to that first truth, and we've given it up. We've decided to stop racing.
We don't even fight for it, man. We don't even fight for the truth anymore, right? We embrace the truth. Hey, Jared. Okay, I'm going to go there. Pull up my commentary. Some of you have heard it. Some of you haven't. But it is so right on, man.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Your commentary was right on. And I sent you that text. And I know we correspond a little bit, but everyone, please read Coach's commentary. That's a commentary that all of us in the huddle need to send to churches. Just that and a little note, just whatever you want to say, but that commentary really said they need to hear.
Amen. Hey, Jared, did you put that picture on there? I don't know if you can see. Jared, that is awesome. This thing's going viral. And I look, guys, can you see on the screen? Look at that guy right there. Does he scare you?
Yes.
Huh? What has happened to us? What has happened? See, and we don't even realize it. And they tell me I'm harsh, Roger. Yeah, I'm too harsh, right?
We need the Marlboro man.
We need the Marlboro man. I may be too harsh for that sissy boy there, for both of those guys. Okay, so I don't care.
You were an invasion force, would you want to fight that guy?
See, Chad, it's the Dhaka Dominoia. Say that again, Chad. Say what you said to begin.
If you were an invasion force, who would you want to fight? Is that guy with the skin or the Marlboro man? And that's why our society has been changed. Our men have been softened up because they can't fight.
Chad, that's not a man. Resist.
You're so right, Chad.
Hey, Chad, you wouldn't want that guy in a foxhole. He couldn't squat down with those pairs of pants on.
You're in a foxhole with you, you'd be in trouble.
Doctrine of Manoia. Right?
I'd shoot him.
Doctrines of demons to make men like this. And not only make men like this, but make us accept men like this. To make this the standard. Dhaka Dominoia. This is doctrines of demons, folks. Come on. Come on. Let's read this thing. Let me read this real quick. I'll try to be nice. I don't think there's a nice way to say it, especially if you're really concerned about being nice. It's reached a point where I am almost embarrassed to identify with the sissified men I see representing Christianity. Can somebody say amen on that? Yeah, right. Can I say this real quick?
Amen.
Double amen.
I wish Tim Tebow would become an SOB sometimes. You guys know what I'm saying? He's always just Mr. Smiley, Mr. Nice Guy. Just
Bobby Knight.
I love Tim Tebow. I'm not criticizing Tim Tebow. Wouldn't you like to get ticked off sometime and throw something over something righteous?
Bobby Knight.
Bobby Knight. Donald Trump. What in the world has happened to him? Why is the average Christian man so unlike the Christian men that we find in the Bible? Now, boys, there is a mic drop right there. There's a mic drop. Can you explain that one to me? Why are the Christian heroes we find in the Bible, why are the men today so unlike those heroes? What is it?
Feminization of the church and feminization of society. You don't have to be tough to survive anymore.
No, you don't. Hey, you don't even have, see my
coach.
I'm after.
Here's an idea. Here's an idea. We know that the Bible tells us that there will be wolves in sheep's clothing. I think right. The wolves in sheep's clothing have invaded the pulpits, many of them, not all, of America, and they have told us what we cannot do. And since they know how to put on the clothing of the sheep's clothing, they have enforceably, on purpose, not told the church how to put on the clothing of God. And we don't even know that we're supposed to fight, and we don't know how to fight because we don't even know how to put on our clothes.
Karen, I wish you were here. I'd give you a great big hug. See, I'm telling you, we want to wear skinny jeans. We want David. If David showed up at the battle today, he'd have on skinny jeans and a cell phone. And he'd try to call down a drone to do it. We don't even, Karen's right. We don't even know what we're supposed to look like.
That's because we're not seeing enough Christian men, okay, as an example, being Christian men. I got to tell you, I emailed this out to some of you guys. You probably haven't looked at it. You got to see the testimony of Robbie Dawkins. You want to see what a real Christian man looks like? Watch his testimony. It's part of a service that was, and if you watch it, you're going to say amen, because it's an example of what we should be. But we don't see enough of these guys. They're too few. You know, a lot of guys in the queue, yes. But again, it's like being in our own church, because the other people on the outside, they're not doing this.
So Glenn, I'm thinking, I saw a clip of Robert Jeffries. I mean, guys, listen, I don't know. I'm not being critical. Yes, I am being critical. I'm trying to make a point. You guys know who Robert Jeffries is, the Baptist preacher from Dallas, I think it is. They love to have him on. First of all, he talks like a woman. He talks like a woman. Jared, just see if you can find some clip. Now, he says the right stuff. He says all the right stuff, and God bless him because he's defending the truth. Just play a little clip here, and let's listen to Robert Jeffries a minute. Folks, I'm trying to make a point, okay? Trying to make a point. Go ahead, Jared.
And it's true. Christians have done some terrible things throughout history in the name of Christ. But I'd respond to that in two ways. First of all, what Christians have done over the years, the horrible atrocities has been...
Take him off, Jared. It makes me want to go put on some skinny jeans. Now, can somebody tell me this something? God bless Robert Jeffress because he's fighting for all he's worth. What kind of image of a Christian man does somebody sitting at home in the pew get in their chair get watching this guy?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
He's a Southern gentleman.
He's a Southern gentleman.
That's what I get when I hear him. I mean, he says the right things. It's just that's what I get.
Yeah,
he's an effeminate man.
If you were George Soros, this guy putting the fear of God in you?
No, Coach, I sent you a picture of what I think would put the fear of God in him, what kind of guy I want to be. I sent you a text message.
Can I share a little scripture for a minute?
Sure.
You know, and everything I'm going to share has come from the huddle. The first thing, you know, it's not only the skinny jeans, but I think Dale shared on Monday about, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah. And we don't understand, I think it's Ezekiel 10, even after God blinded them, and give Dale the credit, because they kept on trying to find the door. They still wanted to come in. So the evilness doesn't end just with a little defeat. The second thing that has come from the huddle teaching is David. And I think David, I forget exactly where it's at, but, you know, David, once he took Goliath down, he went and cut his head off. He finished the job. So we have the skinny jean problem, but we don't understand, or you know, the evil. They don't give up easily. They don't give up easily. And even as Dale taught earlier, they were reaching for the door even after God smit them down and blinded them. And then there's David. David knew, I got to kill this guy. I just can't take him. I got to kill him. And we don't have that mindset.
And Roger, not only that, David cut off his head and carried it into town. David.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
Hey, Jared, shoot up there. Shoot up there. That I just sent you something from Dale sent to me. I just did. Just send it. Stand alone. Hebrews 1 verse 7, Dale says, I make my ministers pillars of fire.
Woo!
Pillars of fire. Ministers, pillars. When's the last pillar? Look at this. Look at that picture. Who, do you know of any Christian men that represent that in your mind's eye? Some guy standing out on the street on fire for Christ. You know anybody do that? See, you don't think I'm crazy. I don't care if you think I'm crazy. If you gave me one half of the appearances on TV that Robert Jeffress has, we'd have something going on in America.
Amen, brother.
Hey, Dale, this is Mark. I wish I'd have been on fire when I went through that crowd with you the other day.
Yeah, we would have been burning Sodom and Gomorrah.
That would have been great.
Well, brother, that's what it's supposed to be, right? And this is not Amen, this. Yeah. This is not what we get, right? This is not what we get.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, Robert Jeffries, the way he talks kind of reminds me of Jeff Sessions. Same style. And I think what's happened is kind of Saul Alinsky has gotten into the church. And this is the way you're supposed to act. You know, Christians don't talk tough. Christians don't say this. Christians don't do this. Yeah. This is the way you're supposed to act. And I think that's where the problem is.
Christians act like Robert Jeffress. That's how Christians act. Not like Coach. Like Coach Dave, he's got like, he sets everything on fire he touches. No crap.
And Coach, you know, of course, William Booth, not the Salvation Army of today. He said, if you want people to hear you preach the gospel, set yourself on fire. People are drawn to fire.
They are,
you know, when there's a house fire, people are drawn to it. They're curious. They're watching. Their eyes are fixed upon us. When a pastor is preaching with venom, with fire, people are drawn to that. The intellect, the mamby-pamby, make you feel good, gospel, gobbledygook, garbage. People aren't drawn Amen. To that.
Amen, Dale.
Right on. So if you don't mind me being so presumptuous, let me continue reading. Because this got, as I said, I got more email. I bet I don't even know how many. And I only got one from a weenie. I got one from a weenie talking to me.
Roast the weenie.
Let's roast the weenies. A weenie wrote me saying that it's obvious if I have to be harsh that I'm not displaying the true nature of Jesus and that I'm doing it in my flesh. But other than that, all of them. I can't. You should read some of the emails I got from women talking about their husband, how much they love their husband, but that he is so soft. And sometimes she wishes he would stand up, and he goes and he's an usher in the church and he takes offerings and he cooks the breakfasts on set. She says, I just wish sometimes that he would just stand up and be a man. I'm telling you, stay with me. This hit a nerve. Pick your Bible hero. My favorite's David. Take a good hard look at him and see if you see his prototype anywhere in America today. Biblical men were real men. They fought evil. They spoke truth and usually ended up in trouble with the authorities of their day. Yes or no, guys? Come on. Jeez. It is only modern Christian men who find solace and comfort and bowing their collective knees to the forces of darkness. Has there ever been a time in the history of the world where Christian leadership regarded compromise as a sign of godliness? Boy, there's another mic drop right there. Huh? We think that if we compromise, we're being Christ-like. See, compromise is weakness. Jesus didn't compromise. He didn't go along to get along. The greater the opposition for his revolutionary message, the more he doubled down. Despite what may be modeled for you in your own church, the King of Kings was not a passive, I'm okay, you're okay kind of guy. Hey, dude, they crucified him, for heaven's sakes. This topic is near and dear to my heart because I'm often reminded that my harshness is a turnoff to some sissy Christian men who wouldn't recognize a jock strap if it hit him in the face. John the Baptist didn't wear skinny jeans. Jeremiah was not into friendship evangelism. And Jesus did not surround himself with cookie cutter senior pastors, ministers of music, or youth ministers that dot the landscape of American Christian churches today. He went after the hardcore guys He went after George. He went after Craig. And he went after Jim. He went after hardcore guys, guys who knew how to get their hands dirty. He went after Chads, as opposed to today's pastor CEO so prevalent in evangelifishism today. Where do we come up with the idea that Jesus was a softie, a pushover, Mr. Rogers clone? Help me here. Can you point out for me even one hero in the scriptures that was a weenie? Another mic drop. Can somebody, can you go through this Bible and find a weenie who was a hero? You can find weenies, but you won't find weenies that were heroes. This is a book of bravery.
Hey, Coach.
A book of bravery. Yes. Jared, go, Jared.
It kind of takes me back to what I was saying on my show yesterday about when Tom and I went into that apostate church in Jeffersonville, Pennsylvania, after the radio station, and the women, there was two men present. One was their pastor, and the other was just an older gentleman that was there, and he was, like, moving stuff around. But the older gentleman, he kept his head down and had nothing to say to me, while the pastor came out and was very passive and soft-spoken and was trying to talk to Tom. But the women were like, get out of here. Grandma was in my face getting ready to hit me. And, I mean, she was flinching at me and everything. She was like, go now. I mean, the women were the men, and the men were the women.
The Daca Delmanoia.
Yes, amen.
Delmanoia, see. Christianity is in a dire need of a reformation. How in the name of all that is holy have we come to the point where any man who speaks his mind is unchristian? Have you read the book of Acts? Don't you understand that those in the Bible who are most famous are the ones who oppose the status quo? Paul wrote most of the New Testament from jail, a jail cell. That was his pulpit.
Coach,
not yes.
You're the new Martin Luther, brother. Not that you need to be the new Martin Luther.
I don't need to be, brother. Not today, no, sir. Anyone who stands up and speaks out is considered a troublemaker. Challenging the authorities is now taboo. Sowing discord is what the religious folks call it. Standing up for truth, exposing sin, pushing back the darkness. Well, that just isn't very Christian anymore. I heard from one of my listeners on my show last week that I'd be more effective in my ministry if I was more Christ-like than my approach. What do you mean with my approach? What do you mean, I said to the email? Well, you just seem to be so harsh. You catch a lot more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. Well, I responded, what makes you think I'm looking for flies?
Hey, Coach.
Flies come around things that are dead. Jesus called us to be salt, not sugar. Good one, he jabbed. Our pastor is very soft-spoken, and he's built a wonderful ministry at our church. Hundreds come to hear his encouraging messages every week. Sounds like he draws a lot of flies, I said. I like the fly swatter approach better. Christian men have become so soft. Let me finish here. Despite what they want you to believe, it was harsh, non-compromising Christian men that built this nation. Compromised, soft, milquetoast Christian men are giving it away. There's another mic drop. You want to know my honest opinion? Christian American men are so deceived. Soft men do not fight. Soft men look to reach across the aisle. Soft men pride themselves on their ability to compromise. Soft men tolerate evil. Soft men have soft hands. And soft men go down with a whimper. Harsh men say harsh things. Harsh men take harsh action. Harsh men inspire real men. The Bible is a story of harsh men taking harsh action during harsh times. The American left is harsh. They are Christless. They are intent on destroying everything that strong Christian men built. Boy, there it is again. Another mic drop. They're intent on destroying everything that strong Christian men built. The left advances only because the right is soft. Iron sharpens iron, the Bible tells us. Well, not today. No, boys, today iron softens iron. That's the message of the American church. Sit down, shut up, get with the program. Don't make waves. God is love. Don't be angry. Bonhoeffer said, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. America is bombarded with evil. Why do we think submission to evil is strength? What type of man cowers in the face of evil? Well, soft men, soft Christian men. That's what our churches are producing. That hit another like nothing I've ever read. Yeah, Jared.
It's like, it's just like what the Bible talks about, mercy and judgment. Judgment and mercy work together. Without one, the other doesn't exist. Look at history. The idea of chivalry, right? What gives chivalry its value? The fact that the guy being chivalrous to you could crush you with his hand because he was a knight. He was basically a human tank. And the reason chivalry worked was because everybody knew that guy could snap you like a little twig, but he wasn't going to, and he was going to be gentle to you because he was an honorable man. That doesn't exist anymore, right? We have it back. We don't have that power, that judgment. Coming from a place of strength is what makes mercy work.
Amen, brother. It's love is power under control. That's what love. That's what it is. You see, love is not power, or power is not love just flowing everywhere. It's restrained. Power is love because it restrains. Oh boy, it frustrates me. Frustrates me to no end.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
There's a book. I don't know, I forget who wrote the book, but it was called Man of Steel and Velvet. And that's, I don't know if he was a Christian or not, but just talked about, you know, being a man of steel and velvet. And I think what it has, we have a man, men of velvet. And you have to know when to fight. And
a man of steel, they don't want you in the church.
Right.
They don't know what to do with that. See, that was the profound line that I got. Sorry, iron softens iron. Today, yes or no? Hey, Roger, when you go to your men's breakfast at your local church, are you going to come out of there more of a man? Are you going to come out, or are you going to come out of there domesticated?
Domesticated. I'm serious.
Okay. You know what that is?
Good bacon, though. The bacon will be good.
The Daca Dominoia. Doctrines of devils have influenced the church. And we don't even see.
My pastor told me once about a month ago, maybe people were afraid. Well, they need to be afraid of God's word.
Yep. Afraid of you, huh? Afraid of you. Yeah. So, you know what?
I said, Pastor, no, you just don't like men like me. I have an opinion.
And hey, Roger. Hey, can I tell you the truth, Roger? If they're afraid of you, they are wussies.
If you weren't my friend, I'd reach into the video here and grab your neck.
Dave,
there's truth. If they're afraid of a Roger Weaver, what's going to happen when real evil shows its face in their life? They'll be paralyzed.
Didaca Dominia, men's hearts failing them for fear. Somebody tried to jump in. Go ahead.
Hey, Coach. I really liked your article. I just wish it was nicer. That's just a joke. That was awesome. But hey, we got, you know, the real enemy today, and I think it's important for people to understand this, is really the Jewish Kabbalah, the whole cartel. And I think it's important we understand not all Jews believe in Kabbalah, but the ones that are ruling this nation that have their tentacles and make no John Hagee, they have Copeland, own our banking system. They own Hollywood.
That's right.
That's the head of the serpent that we have got to cut off. And most men, you're one of the few, Coach Charles Jennings, there's a handful, Rick Wild, will not talk about it. But that's what we need to pray against, work against, and defeat.
Amen, buddy. I'm telling you, iron is softening iron. It's not even iron. Hey, guys, come on. Listen, let me tell you. They're not iron. They're not iron. How the hell can they possibly sharpen? If you are a man with an edge, I promise you this, they're going to do everything they can to take that edge off. Huh? Dale, I'm like you, brother. I said, listen, you don't have to agree with me. Just come watch me burn. Because people like to watch things burn. They do for sure.
Hey, Coach, you know, when they talk about, you know, that you can catch more flies with honey, I tell them straight up, I said, you do know when Jesus says hell is not divided, Beelzebub is not divided against itself, because that's the word he used, Beelzebub. I said, that word Beelzebub is Lord of the Flies. I said, of course I don't want to catch flies.
Yeah, people, we say stuff that's so stupid. Listen, I got a couple things running out of time here. I want to show you this. Jared, it says teachers. This is a little bit more lighthearted, okay? Maybe I can kind of soften the blow here today, because we sort of understand. How do I wonder? Yeah, this is a, I don't, golly, I don't, Jared, I don't want to waste 9 minutes on it. Well, play just a couple minutes of it. This is all, it's called alternative math. You tell me if this isn't America today. We're not going to play it to the end. I want you to get a feel for this. Go ahead, Jared. Called alternative math.
Daddy, come on in.
Little kid comes into the classroom, gives his paper to the teacher, does that.
Looks like you're having some trouble with addition. Now don't be upset. You're here to learn. And we learn from mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes.
Nuh-uh.
Look at this question here. What is 2 + 2? See, you wrote 22. But when we do addition, we don't just put the numbers next to each other.
That's stupid.
All right, I think about it this way. If I have 2 markers in this hand, and then I add the 2 markers from this hand, how many markers do I have now?
22.
No, Danny, it's 4.
Mommy and Daddy gonna come.
Mrs. Wells? We're Danny's right. Parents.
Yes, hello. Oh, please come in. Now, don't worry. It is completely normal for kids to get frustrated when they're struggling with a subject.
So, what's this about Danny getting some answers now. Wrong on this so-called test of yours?
Well, over here, guys.
We
come
had
here.
A test. Mm-hmm. One of the questions was, what is 2 + 2? Danny answered 22.
And
that's not the right answer.
Says who?
Says math.
Are you calling my son stupid?
No, of course not.
Who are you to say that your answer is right and that his is wrong?
No. She's right.
Thank you.
Right out of Nazi Germany.
You can't honestly tell me that you don't know what 2 + 2 equals.
You got it all figured out, don't you? You smart-ass little tramp. What are you, some kind of retard?
All right. I'm sorry. I am not going to be able to continue this conversation.
We're going to complain to the principal about you.
Danny is a free thinker.
I'll have your job, bitch.
Not if you can't add 2 and 2 together, you won't.
Okay. Let's go to the principal now. Teacher does.
Mrs. Wells.
Oh, sorry, principal. I didn't see you.
I understand you had an issue yesterday with the parents of one of our students.
It did get a little crazy.
When things get out of hand, I really need you to let me know about it.
Sure. So how do you want to handle it?
I guess you could apologize.
What? His mom hit me.
I understand you told Danny he had a wrong answer on his test.
He did have a wrong answer on his test.
Yeah, it's not our job to tell students when they're right and wrong.
That is exactly what our job is.
Parents don't want you ramming your biased views down their kids' throats.
That's not biased. That's how math works.
You know what doesn't work? Your attitude. Look, maybe I can explain this in math terms so you can understand. If you took all the kids in this classroom and divided them by 0, that's exactly the amount of respect you're giving them. Something you'd like to say?
You can't divide a number by 0 and get 0.
So now I'm stupid. Just some crazy administrator doing paperwork while you superstar teachers change the world.
Cool.
Are you going to apologize to the parents?
Why did you even start teaching if you hate children?
Uh-oh, now she's gone before the board.
please have a seat, Mrs. Wells.
Thank you. You know, I honestly think this will all blow over if we just wait a week or so.
I'm afraid we can't do that.
Why not?
They're suing.
For what?
Emotional distress to a minor. Mrs. Wells, can you please tell the members of this board exactly when you became aware of this fiasco and the events leading up to the riot?
Riot? I just told a student that 2 + 2 = 4.
We need for you to recant that.
What?
Just say that you're open to the possibility there might be multiple correct answers.
But that's not true. We can't let them bully us. This is so stupid.
Stupid. That's your problem. Anyone who disagrees with you is stupid.
There is nothing to disagree with. There is only one correct answer.
For your sake, I certainly hope you have that correct answer when the media gets wind of this.
I do. It's 4.
I have my own answer. This school minus you equals tomorrow.
You're firing me?
Suspending. While you reconsider your extremist views.
You brought this on yourself.
Okay, you can cut it off, Jared. There's a couple more there. I'm not going to go into it. That's it, isn't it? I mean, it's so here we are. We are the church. We're holding the truth. And every time we bring the truth, there's somebody that questions the way. Not only do they question the truth, they question the way we presented the truth. Couldn't you have compromised? Couldn't you have been nicer about it? Couldn't you? Is it just me, or did that seem like a church board that she was sitting in front of rather than a school board?
That was pretty good, Coach. The only thing was lacking. See, it was a lady. There was a problem. If it would have been like a King David, he might have pulled the sword out and slew off all of their heads.
Hey, listen, I've been in one of those meetings. You understand what I'm telling you? I've been in one of those meetings. And at the conclusion of one of those meetings, they've asked me if I would resign. I stood up and I started laughing. So, are you kidding me? Quit? Me quit? Here's the good news, boys. I told him, you get to walk outside that door and let all those people know you fired me and then explain to them why. Boys, that's liberty. That's freedom. That's freedom. So there it is. There's what's happened to us. Can I switch gears? Can I go back one more time? Sure, I can. I run the show. It's important for us to see this. It blew me away. Jared, go to PETO. This is this stuff's going on all around us. We cannot believe it. We can believe it. It don't matter. It don't matter. And Jared, yep, Tom Hanks is a pedophile. Now, wait a minute. This is starting to break, folks. This is there's a Facebook page. I'm going to show you the Facebook page here in a second as well. This is Sarah Ruth Ashcroft has come forward and now look at it, July 24th. Okay, this is just 2 days ago. Has come forward and announced that she was subjected to CIA brainwashing techniques and child sex trafficked to New Hollywood at age 13 and raped by Hollywood star Tom Hanks. Here's the picture of Sarah Ruth Ashcroft at 13 years old. And what's it say? Under the caption, it says this. This is me at 13, the age I was when Tom Hanks purchased me from my father for sex as a dissociated, mind-controlled doll. I wonder how much he paid. I wonder how much money my father made for breaking my mind and selling my child body throughout my life. Will I ever get to know? This is what Russ Dizdar is talking about. Didaka demonoia. Okay, go on down there, Jared. Because this is posted on her site. Look at this. Sarah Ruth Ashcroft says, people aren't you suing me because I'm telling the truth, so they can't. She says, my family isn't suing. The Roper School isn't suing. Tom Hanks isn't. Hillary Clinton isn't. John Freeman isn't. Craig Hill. These people aren't paying. They're not suing me. None of them want to go on legal record with me. This stuff is real. Okay, Jared, hang on. I'll get all this stuff to you. She starts naming names. And Harvey, Meryl Streep. Meryl Streep, there's a picture of Meryl Streep. She says Meryl Streep is a Hollywood pedophile rapist, all three of them. This is this what's her name? I lost her name. No, Steven Spielberg.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Now, come on, this there, Ruth Ashcroft, Jared. Click on the Facebook link. I went to her page. I thought this is crazy. This can't. I went to Sarah. Look at this. This is her Facebook page, Sarah Ruth Ashcroft. And there's a picture. And what's it say? There's her picture, by the way, over the left. She says, Meryl Streep is a Baal-worshipping grand dame of Hollywood. That's July 25th, 1:50. She posts this thing out there. Go on down a little bit, Jared. Scroll on down. There they are again. Same thing. Tom Hanks is a pedo. She's speaking out and calling it out. Unbelievable. So listen, I want to double back because this is what, look here. This is what Doug Hagman said. Oh, that's, yeah, we don't need to go there, Jim. What Doug Hagman said, the stuff that is coming out, inside information, the stuff is coming out, is so unbelievable. Hey, Yadaka Damanoya.
Coach, they're trying to keep it all under wraps. They don't want one iota of this going over television signals. Not only that,
Vinny. Not Facebook, not YouTube, not Twitter, not any. Why do you think Facebook's down 25%? Do people know something we don't know?
Amen.
I've been telling you for a couple weeks. I said, you know what? A couple months, maybe. I go on my Facebook page, and it's the same stuff. Every day, it's the same feed. It's the same feed, same stuff. And what are we finding out? Yeah, it is the same stuff. Why? Because they're blocking it. They're blocking it. Why? Because they don't want the truth to get out. Folks, did you read 1984? This is 1984. This is something right out of George Orwell's 1984. It's crazy. The times in which we're... Oh, hang on. Yadaka Damanoya. Doctrines of Demon. Now, I'm going to ask you this. Any of you heard your pastors talk about any of this from the pulpit? And is it relevant? Is it relevant? Should we know? Or should we just sit in, pray for financial blessing, pray for health, and pray to be raptured? There's where we are. There's the doctrines of demonoia. The doctrine of demon, whatever. Somebody come on and help me wrap it up. We've got a couple minutes.
We should not ascribe to this. None of this. Don't ascribe to the rapture. Don't ascribe to any of this stuff. It's evil.
Vinny, it comes back to, will men be men? Will men be men? See, the rapture is the ultimate escape mentality. The ultimate. It's the ultimate. Trouble's coming. Come out of here. Trouble's coming. And see, if we could get people to understand that the only ones who are going to make it to heaven are those who endure to the end. That's it. The guys with the hammers and the chisels and the shovels, enduring, fighting, occupying until he comes. Those are the only ones going to endure. Go check out David Arthur's teaching on one thing's always saved. We'll see what I hear somebody.
Yeah, well, Coach, listen, because the news media, the mainstream media doesn't want this information to get out. But on the other hand, the church doesn't want to speak about it because they don't want the information to be let out because they don't want to lose congregation.
Well, yes, Glenn, but they don't believe it. They don't believe in doctrines of demons. See, they think doctrines of demons is talking about demons. Dudes, doctrines of demons are doctrines coming from the demons. Come on. They don't get it. Yeah.
You know, it takes us to coach how they've been teaching that it's about a personal relationship with Jesus when it's not, because when you become a Christian, you automatically become a part of a family. It becomes about the body. It becomes about a family. It becomes about your brethren, and it becomes about a whole, not a single one. And so everybody wants this selfish personal relationship, but it's about being a part of a whole.
Amen, David. And let me take it one step further to wrap it up here for the week. If somebody tries to mess with my wife or my children or my grandchildren, they got a fight on their hand. Do you know why? because I got a personal relationship with them.
Amen, and
I'm not going to let them do that to somebody that I love.
Amen.
God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. See you Monday.
Amen.